T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
And Eleanor Tabone did this story on Channel 4, and I saw it, and I sat up in my chair and paid attention, because we always talk about crime in New Orleans, and Lance Parlow, been arrested 55 times, been there, done that, lived the life, now he's trying to turn young people off to a life of crime, and he's put his life together. Lance, good morning, it's nice to meet you.
Good morning, I appreciate you, it's nice to meet you too.
So here's the thing, and I always talk about this when it comes to people, because, you know, we're just people, right? At some point, you're laying in the bassinet at the hospital, I'm lying in the bassinet at the hospital, your life took a different path than mine. I always wonder, you know, I can go back and look at my life, and I can probably find a couple of different points where I could have taken the wrong turn, but for somebody that was there. I want to know your story first, and then we'll talk about your message to young people.
Okay.
Where were you born?
I was born at Charity Hospital on December the 13th. Same biz, Taylor Swift and Jamie Foxx, I believe. But I was born at Charity Hospital, and I was born, and I grew up in the Night Ward, in the Lower Night Ward. Went to Edison, Thomas Alva Edison. And from now on, from by the time I, every 6 years, it seemed like we moved. From the time I was 6 to 12, we moved in the 7th Ward. From out the 9th Ward to by the time I was 12, we moved out the 7th Ward to the 8th Ward. My life was like all around the world, but I was sometime at the, before I was 12, I was able to handle it. But once that 12 age hit, it was over.
Were your parents married? And if I ask you any question you don't want to answer, just let me know, all right?
That's okay.
Were your parents married, divorced, or what? Was your father in your life?
My parents were married, what you call that, in the world term? Well, not legally married.
Yeah, I hear you. Okay. But your father was in your life?
Yeah, he was. Okay. My father's in my life, but he, you know, as a, coming from like an inner city, I should say, they fussed a lot. They didn't get along, so they separated.
See, because let me tell you right now, Lance, and that's why I appreciate you coming in.
Appreciate you having me.
People think they know, but they don't know. You do know because you lived it, right?
Yes,
and
sir.
That's what I want to try to figure out here, and then with an eye toward crime in the city and how do we do anything about it. So at what point did you start to go down the wrong path?
When I stopped listening to my mama.
Really?
When I started getting whippings every day, like literally from the time I was, don't judge me or my mom or nothing like that, but
no.
It's just what we went through. But
dude, look, nobody's judging you.
I was in trouble.
I think you're a stand-up guy to come in and do this. I really do, and I appreciate it. So at what age were you what kind of student were you in school?
When I was doing my work, I can tell you like this. I was in my best grades of school was my second year in the third grade and maybe my fifth grade year, because I had a teacher who was so loving to me. It was winter time. I didn't have no pants. Mm. She gave me all of her son's old winter clothes.
What? Because y'all were poor, you didn't have any pants?
I couldn't say we was poor, but I didn't know it. Maybe we were, but I didn't have no school pants. But I had a great upbringing for the most part. It was up to me. My mama taught me the right way, and so has my family. Taught me, you should do this, you shouldn't do this. But none of them was actually in a situation from experience. They always told me, you should do this and you shouldn't do this.
Mm-hmm.
But I would listen, but I didn't know how to do it.
So how old were you when, if you could go back and look and say, well, this is where I took the wrong turn, this is where I started to get off the right road?
I started taking up the wrong turn when I was 15 or 16, when I first went to jail and I was getting kicked out the house and the police was being called on me.
So wait, let me slow down a little bit. So why'd you get kicked out the house? What was going on with you and why'd you get arrested?
I would always do something wrong. And my mom would call the police on me if I was just being a troubled teen. And she tried to emancipate me at one point. They was like, no, you can't. And she was like, well, I don't want you in my house because I was doing too much. Whatever.
Like, what were you doing?
Not coming home, being a troubled teen, if you ask me. I can't remember all the things that I did, but eventually led me to just not going home at all or being out on the street.
Hanging out with the wrong people?
Most times, I was hanging out with the wrong people, but when I ended up going on Bourbon one day, Bourbon Street, I was like 13 or 14. It changed my life because I started seeing women that was exposed. I went to a strip club at a young age. I was really like, if you ask me, I shouldn't have seen any of those things, but I learned. Mm-hmm. Being coming from where I come from, I grew up on Bourbon Street. A lot of people might say they grew up on in a night ward or one of the hardest blocks where the police hitting that all mm-hmm. the time. I grew up on Bourbon where you had 1,000 police out there every day. And so if you hustled on that street, you really had to be a heck of a hustler or somebody crazy. But the age that it really brought me to, like that 15, 16, I couldn't stop going to jail.
How you defining hustling and what were they arresting you for?
My first few charges, my first time was going to jail was at the Ritz-Carlton for a fraud charge. I was homeless 5 days straight, literally no sleep. I was a sleeping zombie, literally, no exaggeration. And I said, God, that's how I know. I was like, this is how I know God real. It could have been a devil, though. Mm-hmm. I said, I hope I find credit cards and an ID. It's raining, pouring down raining. And guess what? I walked across the street. I was on Dumain somewhere right there. I walked across the street, and they had ID and credit cards on the ground. Mm-hmm. I grabbed it and went to the first business I seen. Why was the Ritz-Carlton? Man, them people took me to jail within 2 days. Mm-hmm. They found me. I was like, at least I got some clean clothes.
And how old were you then?
I was 20.
All right, so you get arrested, they take you to juvie. Did that have any impact on you at all at that point? Were you afraid of punishment, or did you think that you were that this is nothing serious or what? I'm just wondering what's going through your mind at that point.
To be honest with you, I didn't think that far. I didn't know how to think that far, to be honest with you. I was hoping I stopped going to jail because I was thinking I was going to do something. I was going to do the wrong thing in a different way. Mm-hmm. And it just ended up, the police, the only thing different is the police going to pick up in a different spot. You know, and coming from where I come from, to being an adolescent, my mama taught me the right thing. She put God instilled in my life. I'm family oriented. But it was my choices that I was making, just not having money. I grew up with my mom we were hungry. I used to steal food. Literally going, that's when we were in a big old baggy pants. Remember you used to wear a baggy pants? I would have 46s on. Literally with a belt with this much room.
Lance is probably a 34 waist, I'm guessing.
32.
All right, okay.
And I would literally put a loaf of bread, whatever we had, some sandwich meat, ice cream for my mom and some cookies. I got caught. The man said, why are you stealing? I said, because we ain't got no food at home, and I'm hungry. The man said, well, I'm going to call your mom. I'm going to call the police. So, no, don't do that. No, he said, I'm going to call your mom. Well, call the police, please. Just call the police. I'm straight. But he called.
You'd rather deal with the police than your mom?
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Yes, indeed. I was a trouble kid. My mama didn't play. Like, if she get mad, she get mad. Like, I love her life, but she ain't play.
All right, so let's go back to when you're 15 and you get arrested. Okay. Looking back right now, what would you have changed if you knew then what you know now? What would you have changed to keep you from living that life and going down that road?
Honestly speaking, I appreciate that question. The things I would have changed, I would have listened. I would have stayed in church. I wouldn't have cut church. I go to church, we go to the game room. I wouldn't have went to game rooms. I'd have paid more attention in school. I'd have started having better friends. Not saying the friends that I have are not, you know, but I would have friends that were smarter than me because they would do nothing but encourage me to at least get past where I was at and to reach half the steps that they take. And to be honest with you, Alfred, can you repeat that question?
Well, I was just asking if you could go back.
Okay.
You remember, like, from what you know now and go back then, if I gave you a time machine or you could press rewind.
I'm going back to 13.
And it's like, what, 13? All right, yeah. Tell me why.
12, because I was playing football for Pontchartrain Park. Pontchartrain Park, the same park Jacoby Jones played for, he was on my team. He was mm-hmm. my teammate. He won a Super Bowl with the Ravens. And I will go back to those days because that's the days of why I believe that I was really – I had the best opportunities to do what I had to do with, as far as being a kid.
So what would you tell yourself?
Self. Stay in school. Listen to my mom. Just stay in school. Make the grades. Because once you make the grades, everything else is going to come into place.
All right, let me expand the question then. Okay. What would you have told the people in your life at that point? Is there anything they could have given you or done to you or for you that would have made you make a different decision, you think?
I think if I would have been able to live by my Aunt Julie and my Uncle Esco at the time when I was
young. Tell me why.
Because my dad, he was really like, just touching too. My dad, he was in and out. My mom and getting into it, you know how women are. If you get into it with her, she don't want you to see a kid. Mm-hmm. And that's how that went. But my dad, my Uncle Esco was like one of the father figures in our life and all my family. So we didn't play with him. We talked, we listened. And if I would have been able to live with my cousin, my boy cousins, then I think I would have been in the NFL right now. I'd be talking about retiring from the NFL.
I know you're an electrician now. When you were growing up, one thing I think, and again, I don't know, you lived a life, I didn't. Mm-hmm. One thing I say often, and that I think is that, you know, my daddy owned a service station. I was pumping gas when I was young, working for him and all that stuff. And then I went to school, and my parents put me in Catholic school. And I met some people along the way, kept me on the right path,
so
and kept me from going wrong.
You had the cold drink bottles with the tops you had to pull off like the beer.
Well, maybe not that far back, but but and anyway, the point I'm making, Lance, is that you and I went different directions, right? Not at the same time. There were some time differences, but you and I went different directions, and that's why I go back to the bassinet. And what is it that changed in our life to keep one of us going one way, one of us going the other way? And I'm the first to admit that I had a lot of breaks along the way. I was exposed to a lot of people that either taught me directly or indirectly by watching how they carried themselves, the way to act and the way not to act. And with that being said, and asking you if you could go back and change anything, was it just you that was hell-bent for leather on getting in trouble? Or if somebody else had intervened, what could have been done to keep you from being arrested 55 times?
Honestly, if I had a way to make some money, like legal money, to take help off my mom and the rest of my family. But
see, and that brings me to the next question, which is, I always say that, because you talk about playing in the NFL, and I think sometimes people that are growing up poor think that it's either rap star, NFL, or rock star, some kind of star where
honestly,
multi-million-dollar life, or it's I may as well be dead. When in fact, and now you're an electrician, you're going to find out, or you may know, there's a lot of living to be done in between that everybody spends. I see you smiling. Everybody spends a life doing.
Let me cut you off because I got a tendency to forget what I'm trying to say.
Go ahead.
I want to say I wanted to be in the NFL because I love the game. Mm-hmm. I have that same mind frame like Drew Brees and Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, dissecting the defense and the offense because you love the game. Mm-hmm. That was my passion. Mm-hmm. I'd have done it for free. I remember watching Jerry Rice them play when he.
But you know, only this percent of people get in the NFL.
Yeah,
right?
But I ran a full flat. Put it like this, Mr. Simon. If I listened to my mom, I'd be in the NFL. I was running the full flat, and I was competitive.
You look at it at that point in time in your life like, well, it's either a big music star or a big athlete, or there's nothing else in between that and dying, or what?
I was just trying to figure it out. I love football, and once I didn't have a GED, a high school diploma, to go to high school. I mean, I didn't go to high school, so once I didn't go to high school, I was like, you know what? Before high school, I even made it to jail to go fast forward, but I didn't know what to do, but I know football wasn't going to be my option because I wasn't able to go to school and go to college because at that time I didn't have a GED or high set.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up here when we come back because at that point I want you to tell me what's going through your mind because you don't have a high school degree. You got to do something to eat. How did you get involved? I mean, getting arrested 55 times, a lot, right?
It's a lot of times, and I want to tell y'all, brother.
Were you arrested for any violent crimes or not?
No, okay. I don't have any violent crimes.
It's like theft and drugs and those kind of things?
That was yellow bands. I stopped catching those charges. Once I caught an orange band, that means a felony. You couldn't catch the misdemeanor. It was hard to catch a misdemeanor. You couldn't figure out how to do it. I couldn't figure out how to not get in trouble.
All right, we'll pick it up there when we come back. We're talking to Lance Parlow, been arrested more than 55 times. He's seen a light now. That's accurate to say that?
Yes, sir.
That's not the life to lead. And we're talking about maybe what's the proper approach with kids to keep them from going down that path. Stay with us. We'll be right back. WWL. We're talking to Lance Parlow, been arrested 55 times. Eleanor Tabone to Channel 4 did a story on him, and I saw it, and it's like, I got to talk to this man because a lot of us sit in our suburbs and we think we know what the problems are, and we have no idea because Lance lived it. So he's been there, done that. He's not doing it anymore, thankfully for him and everybody else. But I think it's – well, no, really. I'm just saying, Lance, I'm a real guy just like you are. And I think it's important that we find out how it happened and talk to the real deal because that's the only way you're going to fix it if you want to stop young kids from going in on life of crime. So how many times were you arrested in the juvenile system? You remember?
Maybe once.
Just once?
Maybe once or twice.
Get up close to the microphone for me if you
maybe
would.
Maybe once or twice.
All right. And at what age did you go to real jail?
17. I was 17. When I turned 17, I caught a charge of joyriding with my dad's. My mom's boyfriend at the time, car, his Cadillac. I drove it to Slidell and came back. By the time I made it, I was gone for 2 days. By the time I get ready to come back to New Orleans, the police pulled me over. I went to jail for whatever you call that, for having a joy riding car.
Yeah. So, to the average person listening, I can guarantee you the idea of going to, at that time, it was Orleans Parish Prison, right?
Sure. Actually, they put me in, it was in Slidell, so we went to St. Slamity Parish. We went to St. Slamity. That's what they call it.
But have you been to OPP?
Oh, yeah. I grew up in OPP.
Okay. So, for most of us, the thought of that is terrifying.
It is.
But was it terrifying for you, or did it just become a part of your normal life?
It took me a while to get used to OPP because OPP ain't no place. It ain't just no jail. Orleans Parish Prison, it ain't like no other jail in the world, if you ask me. Going in Orleans Prison Parish, you're really going into a jail, and you're around a lot of people accused of a lot of things, and some of them are convicted.
Were you afraid?
In my mind.
Yeah. So if you were.
You can't let them know it.
Right. No, you can't. I'm guessing you can't. I don't
know.
Indeed,
no.
So why didn't that prevent you from getting in trouble again? If you knew you were going to go back there, because I'm going to people think, well, you know, you want jail to be a scary place. If you knew that, obviously it didn't matter to you because you kept committing crimes, right?
Sort of say. I was more interested in making money. I was always getting put out of the house. I was living Pillar to Post. And I always had to live a hustling life because I was living on the streets, and when you live on the streets, you try to go for the fast money. Most people look for the fast money, not thinking about the long-term money. And that's a lot of part of what my problems were, because if I'd have thought about the long-term longevity of the things that I was doing, and if I'd have thought that question, what are you going to do in the next 10 years? If I'd have thought that, then I'd have been in a better place. And it's just crazy. Jail and prison itself, jail, juvenile jail and real jail, adult jail, the only difference is the ages. Mm-hmm. The ages of the people that's there, because you still have manipulating people. You still have a lot of different personalities that's in a prison. You might be in a prison, in a dorm with 120 people. That's 240 personalities. Mm-hmm. Because everybody has a different personality. People say we bipolar, but everybody's bipolar because if I do you something wrong, you're going to give me that bipolar energy, like back up, right? Mm-hmm. But if I do positive, you're going to give me that positive energy. So that's how I look at that's my insight on that.
All right, so jail's no fun. You're getting punished for doing the bad things. Did you feel at that time like you didn't have any options? I'm not saying that options didn't exist. I'm saying that you were not aware of them. You just thought, because you didn't have any skills. You didn't have any education, right?
Correct.
Did you feel as though there was anybody you could reach out to try to help you, to try to get you on the right path? Or did that not even enter in your thinking? It's like, well, no, this is my life. I hustle. That's what I do for a living.
Both. I have my aunts.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
All my aunts and my uncle, rest in peace to my grandmother and my aunts. But my aunts and my uncle always was like on me. Like, they always telling me what to do. Like, the police gonna get behind you. But like my aunt, she ain't been a clue in jail. You understand? Mm-hmm. And she always, she's one of the main ones that gives me that. One, actually, my aunt that's here right now, she's always giving me this type of advice. But she ain't never been through it to be like, I understand what you're going through. She always should give me that advice, that hard love. But she wasn't ever experienced it, so it was different. And to go back to the last question, another difference is between a real jail, the juvenile jail, and an adult jail is sometimes the people don't care about you. You could die. You could die in either age range. But in going to jail, man, it's different. It's not something you want to do. It's not something you should do.
But yet, you know that now. But at the time, it sounds like even though you knew there were consequences for your behavior, you didn't care because why?
I wasn't thinking about it. Okay. I didn't at the time. You want me to tell you something?
Yeah.
I used to walk up the street praying. I believe in God, right? I used to sell drugs. I would walk up the street and be like, God, you know I got these drugs on me? I ask you to forgive me for that. You know I'm out here chasing this money? I ask that you send me that. I ask that you keep me away from the police and negative energy and around nothing but positive and money. And guess what? It'll come. And I used to be like, this is crazy. And it started coming like that until I was like, man, this is just boring. I started meeting more people. Like, my clientele would be like Caucasian people, smarter than me, higher than me. And they would always encourage me, like, Lance or Fettuccine, you are so better than
this.
Yeah,
tell me about that Fettuccine. What is that?
I'm Fettuccine with the green Lamborghini. Okay. I just ain't got it yet, but it's on the way.
All right. So tell me, they would tell you what? They would try to encourage you while they're buying drugs from you?
Exactly. Like a lot of party animals, a lot of party people, tourists, so to say, I'm making money.
What were you selling?
Cocaine. Okay. In a game, if you're playing a game, you're gonna play this game to win. And so I picked the right tools to win. Winning means making money. That don't mean it's a winning situation because at the end, you're gonna either go to jail or something negative is gonna happen.
You'd be dead.
You'd be dead. And a part of that was like, I got so bored with just this lifestyle, I wanted more. By listening to all these people, beautiful people, I'm talking about, just people who profound, talking to me like, man, I see something
while
in
they're
you.
Buying drugs.
Yeah, while they're buying drugs, because we'll take time to talk to each other. I'm not about to just serve somebody new drugs. We're going to walk and talk and have a drink or something, find a drink to police.
So they would tell you that, and what would you say?
In the back of my head, I'd be like, what I need to do? I really wanted to know what I needed to do. So I started praying hard. And I got into this one relationship. I call it the most toxic because we always fussed. But the one day I was outside, it's raining. I'm in the backyard. And I got like a nice little, about $800 worth of drugs on me that I can go make. And I can make more off it. And I was like, God, that's not the life I want to live. Like, please help me change my life. And in my head, like right here, I hear something say, throw it away then. Throw it away. You must be, before I can say you must be crazy, I had to stop myself because I knew that if I said that, it would be me questioning God. And if I question God, they mean I have doubt in my faith. And if I have doubt in my faith,
but
then nothing's going
to
come.
But you're not saying God led you to sell drugs? Is that what
you're saying? No. I prayed and I asked to stop. And in my head, I heard something say, throw that away then. Throw it away. All this money I'm going to miss.
Yeah.
And I had to throw it away. And I heard, when I threw it away, I said, God is on you.
So you said you never committed any violent crimes?
I went to jail for fights and stuff like that, but like with guns and things like that.
Like
never.
Robbing somebody is what I'm saying.
No.
Okay. Now, what do you think kept you away from that? And what's the difference between why did you stay away from that and so many young people today?
Great answer.
Are carjacking people and these violent crimes? Okay. What's the difference?
When I was 15, we caught an armed robbery charge, me and this guy. I was facing 10 to 9 years in jail. When they told me that, I was 15, 16.
15,
my first time going to jail.
Did you do it?
It was together. I told the guy to do it, so technically I done it.
He had a gun?
No, we had a gun. We didn't use no weapons, but we used to rob people. We was doing it with grip pliers. Give me your money. And people used to do it. Like, right. Why are we 16
Mugging
years old?
Mugging them, strong arming
them. God forgive me, please don't judge me, but please forgive me. But I was young at that time, but when they told me I was facing 10 to 9 years, I say, who? If I ever get another chance, I'm not doing this no more.
So there was a fear of punishment.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Okay.
I was scared to be away from my family, just being in a prison place, in a place of imprisonment for the rest of my life. And I was just like, I got to find something else to do. Still took me a long time to figure out what my plan was going to be because I didn't know. But back to what I was just telling you, and I was saying that when God told me to throw that away, I threw it away.
You did?
I threw it away, and I went to jail, like, right after that. It was 2020. I come home and done 7 years, and I went home for, like, 9 months.
2020? Just 2 years ago?
I came out in 2019.
Nine, okay.
And went back in the end of 2020 and got out of September 1st of last year. And why I got, when I was in there, I forgot what I was saying. I got a
short term. You sound like a smart guy, and I'm just, how much money did you make, the most you made one day selling drugs? You remember?
Man, I made $10,800 in one day. And guess what? The same day, I sold to undercover police and went to jail. And guess what?
You profited $10,800
in one
day.
Man, the same day. And listen, I was doing more than selling drugs. I was selling girls, like the game, selling game. You know what I mean? Like, I was selling game in the French Quarter. So you had to win in the French Quarter. So I did what I had to do to win. So
we got
to
take another break here. Okay. So let me ask you this when we come back. How do you tell, how old were you that time making $10,800? How old were you that time?
That only happened once. I was like 28.
All right. So what's the average you would make in a day?
$800.
$800 a day, pretty good money.
Yeah, it's pretty good money, but you spending it every day. I'm dealing with these three different girls. We got to go every day. Like, when I'm dealing with these women, every day, when I was in that lifestyle, I got to, every day you got to go get them to get some new hair, some new clothes, some new eyelashes, some new something.
So you didn't profit that. You just kind of grossed it.
You grossing it, but you constantly spending it.
Here's what we're going to talk about when we come back, Lance. If you got a kid that's 13 years old and headed for trouble, what do we do? What can we do to keep them from going down the road that you did, or, God forbid, worse, where they're committing violent crimes and hurting people? All right?
Okay.
We'll talk about that when we come back. Lance, I mean, you're a stand-up guy. Lance Parlow, been arrested 55 times. He's now an electrician, correct, as a result of the Planet Delgado?
And logistics management.
And logistics management. We'll talk about that when we come back. And I think if we're going to solve this problem, we got to talk to people like him that have lived the life, because they know where the turns are, they know where the hazards are, and what you can do to prevent from going the wrong way. 938 traffic now, WWL. All right, 945, quarter till 10, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Lance Parlow, nice enough to come in, and we got to give a shout-out to Eleanor Tabone, who did the story on you on Channel 4,
yes,
and that's
sir.
How I found out about it, and I invited you on. That's a great story. It is.
Thank you so much, Ms. Eleanor. I appreciate you. We're going to do great things in the city of New Orleans and into the state of Louisiana.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I'm going to give you a promotion. I'm putting you in charge of juvenile crime. And what should be done, what can be done to keep kids that start to take the wrong turn at 10, 11, 12, maybe even before that, 13, 14, they start going into violent crime. How do you either keep them from going there in the first place or get them off that path once they start to go? What would you do?
My honest, the first thing I would do, if it's 13-year-olds, I would find out what they like to do. I would find out what these kids like to do, because a lot of troubled teens are poor. Their mamas don't care. Their mama don't have this. They probably go hungry throughout the whole day, or have to wear the same clothes and socks all the time, or don't have this or that.
Let me tell you right now what people are thinking. People are thinking, I guarantee you, they're saying, what are you talking about? They got food stamps, they got welfare. Why would you go hungry? Go ahead.
Because their mama would use it on something else. Their mama would sell it. Their mama would use the money to buy drugs, or go take care of her boyfriend, or pay, or go out onto the club, buy outfits for clubs and things like that. And once I figure out what this kids like to do, I would start treating them. I'm going to treat them like he's my kid. Any kid I'm around, I'm going to treat him like my
kid. You have kids?
Yes, I do. I got two daughters, a 13-year-old and an 18-year-old, and they are so proud of me. They just told me yesterday, Dad, I'm so proud of you, Dad. And my 13-year-old, I have to give her a shout out. She lives in Atlanta. She loves to read. Her hobbies are reading and just doing positive things. So back to these other 13-year-olds.
Yeah, what do you tell them? What do you do? Will you sit them down? Do you yell at them? Do you
I'm not going
to
yell at them, because they're getting yelled at all the time. I'm going to find out what they like to do, and I'm going to do what I can to help them do something positive and constructive. I'm going to give these kids something constructive to do when they out of school and during the summertime that they like to do, because a lot of kids want to play basketball. And these days, kids want to play soccer. I don't know why they won't play soccer.
But wait, let me take a time out here. Mm-hmm. Did you realize when you were 13 that there was a possibility to do what you're doing now, that there was an electrician, that you could be an electrician, that you could be a logistics manager? And maybe at that time, I don't know if the logistics manager existed or not. Electrician certainly did. But were you aware of that as a life path or a career path where it's like, you know what? I need to get an education. I need to learn what I know how to do stuff so I can get a job and work. Was that even part of your mindset at that time or not?
Vaguely. When I was going through the school, when I was hustling, or so to say, I would literally be like, man, I could do this.
I could do that. But the first thing that comes to my mind is, man, I ain't got no GED. I ain't got no high school diploma. So when I went to jail in 2000, and I went to prison in 2012, I had to get it.
You talking about Angola now?
I didn't go to Angola, thank God. I went to like 18 other camps, including Rayburn. And when I tell you, it was one of the worst, but the best experiences of my life because I was able to go through it and learn from it. And go back. But
you're talking about we were talking about, and you know, but I got a little memory situations here.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's all right. We were talking about Tim. Jump in here. What were we talking about? We were talking about keeping kids on the right path.
Thank
would you yell at them? Or
I wouldn't.
Not?
I wouldn't dare yell at them because they're not my children. And as soon as you let them, they're gonna be like. They're going to go to thinking evil about you. These days, kids, you really have to give them something to do constructive that's positive, but also that they like to do.
You got
to
explain to them at some point, though, like lay out what life is about. And
me personally, from there, I would start telling them like this. If they trouble, I've been in jail, so to say, times, and the rate you're going, if you really want to be in, if you want to live a life of going in jail and have a short-term lifespan, then jump into these streets and do whatever you want to do. But if you want to have a better opportunity for yourself and your mom and your dad for the next 10 years, if you want to put yourself in a situation 10 years from now that you up, when I say up, that means you financially stable. That means it needs to start now, right now. Not now, but right now. If you want a positive life from, if you want to do, where you want to be at from 10 years from now, everyone. And you think of that, when you think of that, where you want to be at 10 years from now, think of what can you do to put yourself in that right situation 10 years from now. And I'm saying that because I remember in 2012, I'd done something wrong in May. And the cause of that, I was 7 years later, I'm still suffering from the consequences of what I did in 2012, which was sold to an undercover cop. And my thing, you have to want something. You have to want something different in your life. You got to get tired. You can't just be content in the environment or situation that you're in. Because if you get content and comfortable in a situation, that everybody's going to pass you up.
So what you're saying is you gotta say, look, you're 13 now. Where are you going to be when you're 23? How are you going to get there? What's involved with your getting there? Right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And which would be first, education. That's it. Your education is to your parents. Whoever you have a house you live in, listen to them. Because once a kid go to getting put out the house at a young age, they go to think about making money, and they go to living in the fast life. Once they living in the fast life, then they got the fast friends. They got the influences of the cars and also all kind of things like that. And when they have all those kind of things, it's hard to get in touch with them, to get in tune with it because they see all of this stuff. So what I would do, I honestly would take these kids and give them, I would put them in school, have extracurricular activities for them to do as well as sports.
I'm watching the clock here. I want to get as much in as I can. We hear all the time that jail is that you're learning. One way or the other, you're learning. Either you go to school, that jail is basically school for criminals.
I believe it is because guess what? If you go to jail for 2 years, depending on what prison you go to, if you go to a prison, you're going to come back home. People going to think you're crazy, but you're going to be put on, pay attention to certain things and it's off the, pay attention to a lot of things, but the most important thing you'll learn is respect. Mm-hmm. Respect go a long way. If you respect the next man, then the next man gonna respect you. But also, if you mind you, what I learned, one thing I learned about when I was going to do my time, they say, if you got, I asked the old school, he said, how much time you got? I say 7. He said, the first half of your time, mind your business. He said, the second half of your time, mind your business. Mm-hmm. They mean you see no evil, hear no evil. I seen that, but I ain't see it, you know.
Tell me, before we run out of time here, how did you turn it around?
I turned it around because I got tired of it. I wanted to win. I wanted a better life. I wanted a wife. I wanted a beautiful girlfriend. And I wanted to help my kids.
So what was the moment that sent you down the right path?
My daughters. Okay. My daughter said, Dad, I haven't seen her in a couple years, and she lives in Atlanta. She was like, Dad, I miss you. I love you. I need to see you. We need to do something. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. I'm tired of going through this. I'm going to school.
So you knew that it was about education, and you realized from your daughter telling you, Dad, we can't do this. I don't want you in jail. I want to be proud of you. And that's when you knew that you had to go back and get an education.
Yes, sir. I got tired of that lifestyle, and I knew education was important. But I was just afraid to take the challenge. But when I did take that challenge, I ended up on the dean's list at Delgado with a 3.5 GPA average. And I graduated on my birthday last year, December the 13th. And with that being said, everyone, I also have a GoFundMe account, which is called, I forget. It's called Making a Better Life. Can I see that?
All right, we're finding out here. We're talking to Lance Parlow. He's been arrested more than 55 times. And we're trying to find out some of the root causes for crime here and how to keep young people from going down the wrong road. What is it, Lance?
Yeah, I'm getting to it right now. It is making a difference in self first.
Okay.
I believe that's what it is with making a difference within self first by Lance Parlow.
Do you plan on trying to reach young kids to keep them from going out of trouble?
Oh, yes,
get them
I
going
do.
Down the wrong road?
I do. Anytime I get a chance to talk to young adults, young kids, I'm talking to them. Anytime I want to have an opportunity to go to the prisons that I was at one point, mm-hmm. and also to the juvenile centers and to the schools, because I remember a guy named Stanley Schofield. He used to come to my school when I was a little kid. He used to have us crying, but I want to really talk to these young adults, because I know once they meet me, even the Saints players, once they meet me, it's gonna turn into a winning culture. You know what I mean?
All right.
And shout out to my New Orleans Saints, I want to say. Shout out to my family, my friends. Thank you for Mr. Tommy Tucker for having me.
Well, thank you for coming in, Lance. You're a stand-up guy. I appreciate you. I really do, man. All right, we'll take a break, come back, find out what Newell Norman's got planned for you today on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.